Concierge Bean Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz. And as promised, we have a special guest today that I'm just super pumped and super excited and honored to talk to. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Christine Ferreira with us. Christine.
Yes. Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
So, Christine is a championship fighter currently in the Bare Knuckle FC, and she has also been in the fight game, per se, for 15-plus years. I wanted to get on the show because we've had, as you guys know, we've had coaches and trainers on the show here recently, and so what a great balance to have a fighter's perspective on the show. But I guess to start, though, Christine, tell us a little bit about what got you into fighting and the whole kind of the initial biographical piece that got you into this.
Okay, so I'm extremely competitive, athletic. I loved soccer growing up and just sports in general. Hung around a lot of boys. I wanted to get in better shape. I was about 21, 22. I was about 21 years old, walked into a gym, a regular, weight gym and treadmills. And there was like a fight gym to the side of it. And I just kept looking inside. And I was like, I could beat them up, you know? And, I just felt like because the girls were smaller and I was just like, oh, I will, you know, they think they're fighters, but I'm a street fighter, right? So I know I could kick their ass. No, so I went in there, tried it out eventually, and found out that I couldn't fight. So it really challenged me, and so I wanted to get better. I kept getting my butt kicked every day, and I just wanted to be able to, you know, return the favor. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I eventually got better and better and better. They threw me in a fight probably 3 months into my training. So I was in there. I took the butt kickings nice. I was smiling after everyone. The coach was like, because he would sit us all down after the sparring. And then he would tell each of us like, oh, this is what you were doing wrong. This is what you were doing wrong, blah, blah, blah. And he told me, he's like, you just took an ass kicking of a lifetime and you're sitting there smiling. So it was something that I fell in love with immediately. And the challenge, the physical and the mental challenge of it, I love stuff like that. So I immediately became attached to it.
Now, were you a freestyle fighter? Were you doing BJJ? What did you start as MMA and kind of
I started as a Muay Thai fighter.
Muay Thai fighter.
Yeah, so I started as a Muay Thai fighter, fell in. I didn't know what I was walking into. When I walked into this gym, I had no clue. It was boxing, martial arts, you know, I just walked in and I saw them throwing kicks and punches. So I was like, yeah, let's do that. And so I eventually found out the coach was a Sancho expert. And then mixed in with Muay Thai, so I kind of got the throws, right. You know, the throws down, like the Sancho throws, and then the sweeps. So, and then I went from Milpitas to Las Vegas and went to a Muay Thai gym. Okay. And then it was, I went 14-0 as a Muay Thai fighter, and then I went into MMA and then bare knuckle.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
I want to fast forward to, I guess, this week or last week. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit? You flew down to Houston. I saw you got some pretty serious, looks like, boxing training.
Yeah.
A legend down there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I wanted to try a coach out in Houston just to expand my game and kind of broaden my horizons and get a different kind of style under me. I like to change up my style and put different things behind me. I like to change as a fighter every fight and improve every fight. And complacency creates, you know, laziness and you just get comfortable. I don't want to get comfortable, you know. So I checked out David Martinez over in Houston, Texas. Amazing trainer. The schedule he has for me is insane. This next fight is going to be amazing. I'm going to be faster, stronger. It was amazing in Texas, by the way. I love it out there. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Nice places to stay and visit and stuff like that. Houston's a great town, man. It's a world town. I'm born and raised there. I live in Dallas area now, but always been a big fan of H-Town and has its own kind of rhythm to it. And I'm glad you got to go down there and get a slice of that. So now when is your next fight?
I'm thinking around the end of June. I can't give a hard date yet because they kind of tell me what's going on, but nothing is in concrete yet. So it's most likely the end of June.
And do you know who you're fighting?
I don't know that. I wish I did.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I know matchmakers and everything has its way in terms of timing and whatever. And so I totally understand that, but I know that you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
You are ready. Wow. Okay. So one of the things I'll just kind of, I really love, you're my first bare knuckle fighter to have on this program.
Awesome.
Kind of, introducing that concept to our listeners and our viewers. And so I would you be willing to compare and contrast, like what's the difference between, let's say, UFC, fighter versus what you guys do in bare knuckle? And you can do the quick compare and contrast.
Okay. I feel, the MMA fighter and a bare knuckle fighter, of course, we don't go to the ground. There's more action in bare knuckle. There's more knockouts. There's more cuts. There's more blood. I believe there's less damage to the brain because of we're not going to be able to take that many punches. Like in comparison to a glove, we're going to be able to absorb more force. There's not going to be as many cuts. So we're going to be able to take more damage. It's a faster pace. We have 5 rounds at 2 minutes each. We start off about, I think, about a foot apart. So we're super close.
Yeah.
we're like face to face when we start off. So it's pretty intense. And the promoter, David Feldman, he likes us to be really busy and very active during the fight. I just believe it's super exciting. MMA is great. Those athletes are amazing, but we're just a little bit better.
Hey, now you're onto something here because one, that ring is smaller, right?
And yeah.
Y'all are really there to do a job. You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, I'm going to clinch you up on the fence, right?
I don't like that either. Right. And that's what I didn't like about Emmett. Well, for me as a competitor, I like explosive. Like I like the wrestling because you're picking up, you're slamming.
Right.
You have to be active. You're not on your back. You could ground and pound. I just want excitement. The fans want, just action and to see work. I just feel like you can push people on the cage and you can buy time and it just hold. I just don't.
Right.
That's not for me and there's a lot of fans that just, they want that instant gratification, that explosive, that speed, that action. So that's what I want to do. I want the fans to love me. I want to excite the fans. I want to be in there excited. I don't want to be bored. So.
No pun intended. It certainly is. I watched, I guess the Hart fight and she turned her name into Beltran. She married, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I watched some of those fights and really watching you, the level of fighting that you bring, also the level of wisdom that you bring post fight, in terms of you had the victory, you won the victory, you're not there to break any, crash any dreams, you're there to win. Right. Yeah. And you're very I found you very respectful of the other fighter. Particularly post fight, and we all know you got to talk shit pre fight. We all understand that's part of the draw to get people. All right, get people
right
up. We get that, but the way you handle that was, I thought was, very polished.
Right.
So, to that is the way you described it, the energy and the fighting. This is what, man, I guess it's on my show. I can say this, but, and I've said this to you before, Christine, I feel like that excitement, like I felt in the late 90s or earlier 2000s, you know what I mean? People in the ring, you got some, you know, your own kind of sponsorship possible, you know what I mean? You got sponsorship options, and people are just going at it, you know? And, and so, in a technical way, and, you know, I think you're right, Christine. I think there probably would be less brain damage overall, because if you look a lot of fights, I've noticed that those cuts on the orbits, you know what I mean? Like, and so you get that cut, you know, the head injury, you bleed a little bit more, you know, and guess what? Fight's over. Damage. Make no mistake about it. It might not do the enduring brain damage that some of these other forms of fighting.
Right.
All on your head, or somebody flips you on your head or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's every sport's dangerous. That's why we take that risk, but you know, to minimize it, you know, is great. Right. And to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think that bare knuckle, I mean, we can only hit so hard without protection, you know, because when your hands are wrapped, it's concrete under there. Like, I remember, like, I haven't wrapped in so long, but when I have those wraps on, it's like, and then the glove goes on over the wrap.
Right.
So it's a compacted tape on top of a glove. So, whoa. I mean, so yeah, it's
hitting you, related to the weight of the person's hand.
You can only hit so hard.
Yeah.
With your fit, you know, bone to bone. And if you hit the top here, this is the hardest part of the skull.
Right.
You know, you're probably going to break, the forehead. Yeah.
Getting old. for sure. So, you see, that's a good point that I think people think of bare knuckle as more savage. Like, oh my God, this is so much more barbaric. And man, it really isn't in many respects, you know.
No, it's not. And I think people will look at it as barbaric if they don't understand the training behind it.
Right.
We're not here to kill people. We're here to compete and demonstrate our techniques and who's trained harder, who's put in the most time, the sacrifice, the dedication, the focus. It's sport.
Right.
My ignorance is because I don't know much about it. What was that movie, Switch, with Brad, what's his name?
Bruce? Brad?
Brad Pitt.
Okay.
The bare knuckle guy. So.
Which,
I loved him. I thought he was great. But that's and I think Clint Eastwood, his early movie with the ape, you know, he was a bare knuckle fighter.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing, I'd like to ask you a couple questions, if I could.
Sure.
One, I want to compliment you again. And this is going to lead into my question. Okay. When you said, you know, you're always ready. Right. And it's funny that Bruce and I were talking this morning, you know, and I said, yeah, Bruce, you and I are, we're like spam. We're always ready.
Yeah.
And so you are, you're like spam. A typical day for you, like today, you're busy and you took time out of your busy schedule to visit with us. But what is your typical day in training and do, you know, getting daily stuff?
Daily stuff. So when I'm out of camp, you know, I run and then I'll hit the bag, do head movement drills, footwork. I just stay kind of in shape. You know, not crazy where I'm going as hard as I can, you know. I do sometimes. I got to let that out. But for the most part, I want to let my body recover in between fights. And then when it's time to rev up, like my schedule will be get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, run, maybe do some head movement stuff or whatever the coach wants me to do. Come back at 12 and then at night, maybe bag work, whatever he wants me to do. I'm training about 2 to 3 times a day you know, I'll do my, you know, in different things. So it'll be like a run, maybe my 5-6 mile run in the morning, or I might do it at noon. You know, it varies. So my day, it's pretty simple. I like a little really regimented days and the same thing. I mean, at the same time, but he'll have me doing different things.
Okay.
You know, but at the same time every day. I have that.
that gives me another question. And I'm sorry, Bruce. I keep,
no, go ahead.
You know, since Bruce, this is a coaching show, concierge coaches. Yeah. And so you have a coach that kind of guides you and directs you. But
yeah.
Do you have any aspirations after your physical career?
Mm-hmm.
When maybe you have to kind of, you know, sometimes we have to give, in your field, you have to kind of say, okay, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, it's just an age kind of takes a toll. But do you have any ambitions in of coaching people to do what you're so successful at?
Possibly. I haven't, I do coaching now. I coach and I train just, you know, I've trained a couple guys that wanted to be fighters, but you know, the dedication it takes, a lot of people fall off, you know, so, but I do help people with like, just people that don't want to fight or compete. I just help them with weight loss and mental. I do the mental side of things. But they, I don't know yet what I'm going to be best in. You know, I'm testing everything. I'm trying, you know, commentating. I'm trying coaching. It just everything. So when I retire, I feel like I always just kind of let things flow and don't be like so narrow-minded. I keep my mind really open. And I know I'm great at like supporting people and uplifting people and motivating people mentally and emotionally. And that's great as a coach too, because I have to be able to tap into that side for them, because fighting is 99% mental. You know, the easiest part of this is the physical. It's the fight in your head leading up to the fight. You know, it's the fight, it's the lead up. It really is. And if you can get a fighter 100% confident, truly, not just that outside ego or just ego, but if you could get him or her mentally and emotionally confident and established and ready, you're going to have an unstoppable fighter. So I don't know where I'm going to go in. I might not be a head coach. I might be an assistant coach that does the mental part. I don't know yet. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to be in the game.
You're an excellent communicator. And when you just mentioned that, you know, 99% above the head. You know, Arnold Palmer said that about golf too. The golf game, 90% is played above the shoulders. And the same in our business. I come from the sales business. Mm-hmm. And if you can convince someone of their ability, and you can motivate them and can convince them that they've got it, they can, and they've got that 90, like you said, you get somebody that's got 100% in their head, they're the heroes in the company.
Yep.
But nothing it's stops true. Them. Absolutely it's nothing true. Stops them. Yep. But then you get. Then we also see in our company, or I've seen over my career, where those that they will have every excuse in the world for not being up here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a dog died last Saturday, or
some
excuse like that.
It's the 1%. 1%. Yeah. You know, there's a 1% of us that. There's only one champion, right? There's one owner. There's one. You know, there's never, I mean, it takes the team, but there's one leader with.
Well, you're an awesome, I mean, I know we got a ways to go, so I'll stop and let Bruce take over, but you are an awesome individual. Holy.
Thank you. Cow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Man, I'm blown away.
Bruce, thank you.
You know, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
But you ought to see your fight, you know, as well. just to kind of put the cherry on the top there, you know, really see what she's bringing into the sport, you know. And the other thing, you know, from just a fan perspective, that's all, just a fan of fighting. It's just another thing with the ladies, you really want to see them fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily get that sometimes. But for various reasons, I get it, you know,
Right.
But man, you know, to see someone like yourself out there, that bell rings and it's on.
It's on. Yeah, it might take me a second sometimes to, I like to, you know, get their timing and get their demeanor.
Right.
But, I mean, we only have 2 minutes. It's not like I have much time to kind of read somebody, you know, so we have to make sure that it's a high paced fight, you know?
Yeah, definitely for sure. And so, you know, that's what I'll say, you know, at least categorically, you know, is the dedication to the energy of the fight, you know, and yeah. giving the fans what they want to see in terms of two people literally fighting in a refereed competition. Very, very good. And, you know, saw that picture of myself and it wasn't Beltran. Who, Mergliotta. Remember that picture I sent you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I like that you have some of the other refs from other venues reffing y'all's fights, right?
Yeah, it's all of it. So David Feldman, the promoter, he brought in Stitch Duran, he brought in all truly professionals in the sport, and man, I mean, he made this grow, he made it happen, and now we're really taking off. And when I'm walking down the street or I'm in grocery stores, people are like, is that you, Christine? Like, you know, their marketing is getting way better. We're growing so much more. People are, you know who I am, you know, and that's great. And that means that the sport is growing and people love it. And I ask them, do you like it? You know, they're like, we love bare knuckle. And I'm like, good. Cause I want it to grow and I want to help the sport grow.
And back and forth with Mr. Feldman a good bit. Still not sure if I can make Wichita this Friday. But man, been going back and forth with him. Very awesome. Just a nice, complete gentleman, very open, open to me. And
awesome.
That's always much appreciated when you have a leader like that, that'll actually give the time of day to a small fry.
And he's a fighter, you know, that's what's great about it too. He's a fighter. So he understands our struggle. He knows what we're going through too, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Christine, I got to just to wait. So, okay. Now, where did you grow up?
San Jose, California, and Modesto, California. Yeah, then I moved here about 13, 14 years ago to Vegas. I'm sorry, 14 years ago to Vegas.
And you've always been a scrapper.
Yeah.
just your personality. I mean, I'm telling you what, I've never watched bare knuckle fighting like in person.
Uh-huh.
I could just imagine, just from your personality, I mean, man, you'd be like, that bell rings, if it rings or whatever happens, you probably take about as long as a flight to judge your opponent, and then you're on them like ugly on an eight.
Yes, I am.
I mean, I can just see that you are just, all of a sudden, it's like, it's almost like CGI. You're coming out. It's just a force field.
Once I get your number, it's not good for them.
No, enthusiasm and, I mean, dedication. I could just visualize it.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. I wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want. I wouldn't want to get anybody
like deep passion for what I do. So, I give it all. I give my all.
Do you have a special diet?
Yeah, I have a nutritionist. So she just writes out whatever weight I'm at. I tell her what weight I'm at and how I'm training, and she adjusts my meals to exactly what my training is, so I don't gain too much weight or I don't, you know, lose too much muscle.
Yes. That's
yeah, awesome. I don't want to worry about that, because for a lot of my career I couldn't afford to get that, to afford a nutritionist, but you know, being bare knuckle has like really helped me a lot. So I've been able to get a nutritionist, get strength conditioning coaches, and up my game a lot more. If you look at my fights previously, you'll see that I'm lacking muscle, you know, I'm lacking some speed and some strength, but I have somebody taking care of my nutritionist and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So I've been able to improve myself and be a better athlete. And I still work, you know, I'm an Uber driver too in between my fights, but I put all my money back into my sport. Like I want the best food. I want the best water. I want the best steak, you know? So I want the vitamins, the hydration. Everything is top of the line for me because I want my body to be in perfect shape. And I'm getting a little bit older, so I have to make sure everything is perfect with my body. And I want to be a legend in this sport. So I am the first ever 125-pound bare knuckle fighting championship champion. But I want to be the first with a knockout. Like I have TKOs. I want several of them. So I want to make a name for myself where they can't catch up with me when I retire. Yeah. You know, so I'm here to stay for as long as I can and defend my title as long as I can.
Oh man. Well, you got a new fan.
Thank you.
two and some change. Mm-hmm. And then my sons are my kids, the ones that turned me on to bare knuckle.
Awesome.
For real. And then through a mutual friend of ours, I was able to connect with you and Jules. Mm-hmm. So definitely want to get Jules on the show as well.
Yeah, she's amazing.
It sounds like a lot of good things going on with fighter development. You know, I know y'all have an attorney that does some classes and programs and, you know what I'm saying? Self-care types of stuff. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And man, hopefully I was talking to Jules about maybe being a part of that at some point, sometime, but do problem solving or whatever types of coaching classes, you know, or little seminar type of thing. So that'd be great maybe in the future. Cool. But I do like the fact that there is this kind of holistic approach that at least that you and Jules
I definitely do. Yeah. I'm into yoga. I do yoga for like meditative things, for focus. Right. You know, Bikram yoga really helped me. Not only did it help my body physically, but it helps me. I have to sit in a hot room for an hour and hold poses. And, you know, I have this little 100-pound girl doing like crazy things with her leg and smiling doing it. And I'm over here like, ah! You know, like I'm this, you know, this crazy fighter and she's this little yoga girl that's stronger than me. So it when I walked into that, I was like, I thought I would be perfect. Oh, I could do this. Oh my gosh. You have to have such a peace and focus inside of yoga that you can't get anywhere else. And I recommend yoga big time for any kind of like mental calming or control, to learn to control your mind, you know.
Absolutely. While we're on the kind of diet yoga topic, can you tell us the difference between a weight cut for what you have to do in bare knuckle versus maybe a UFC lady would have to go through? Is there any difference, or can you comment on that?
Well, there's a lot of MMA people that go to bare knuckle. So for a boxer like Britton Hart, she comes in at 125 pounds. She doesn't cut weight. So, but MMA, like me, I start off at about 140 to 142, and then I gradually drop down to 125. I've been in the 125 division my whole career. So I do a cut. Not everybody does. Like the boxers, for the most part, they're not going to do too big of a cut. They still cut a little bit. Some don't cut at all. MMA girls, they're cutting 15 pounds at least.
and why do you think that is? Like, why?
It's the wrestling. It's the wrestling
mentality.
Yeah. And so in MMA, everybody's cutting. So when I was in MMA and Muay Thai, everybody's cutting. So if I come in at my weight at 125, there's that girl's going to be 140 the next day.
Right. Oh,
I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to cut weight just like you, and it's going to be even.
Right.
So I'm not dealing with that. I know, just like for Britton Hart, for her last fight with me, I'm just much bigger than her. Like she is she should be cutting down to 115 in fighting girls down there.
Oh, you know?
So the discipline, but it's the discipline. Does she have the discipline to do something like that? I don't know. I see her eating candy and crap all the time. It's like, you can't do that.
Right.
You know,
that's really interesting. So there really isn't. So there's a difference in the
that, I see that drink. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I just do Pellegrinos. So I like, even for soda, I don't drink soda. I drink Pellegrino, you know, that's the sacrifice I make to make sure I don't gain weight.
Exactly.
You know,
well, that's good. So that's a difference in the weight cut where it's just more normal. I hate to say that, but just like, hey, it's not going to be a drastic, like you said, you know, people passing out,
I mean, some people, it varies from person to person, you know what I mean? So some people do that. Some people are doing that. And like this last fight for me, I had to cut 12 or 13 pounds in 18 hours. But that's only, but I've never done that before in my whole career. What happened? I got COVID 5 weeks. I got COVID 5 weeks, 5 weeks out, and my body was acting weird. And usually I cut 3 pounds the day before. I gradually cut. I don't ever make it all in one day. That's horrible. That's why this last fight, I looked okay, but I was still like kind of slow because everything wasn't firing right. I've never cut that much of my life in one day.
Wow.
It was insane. But COVID got me at 5 weeks, and then I couldn't eat or drink for a week. So I had 4 weeks to recover, and my body was holding on to like all my weight. And it started gradually dropping, but it didn't drop enough. So like my nutritionist was like, I don't know what's going on with you. I was like, I think it was the COVID. And then by the time the day before the weight cut, I had to cut a lot. It was horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Strength and everything.
Yeah. My speed wasn't there. Actually, that's what happened. Like I had my power. If you watch this last fight, you'll see my power there, but I'm just slow, really slow. But it's okay. I won.
Yeah. And that's right. You just got
it took my speed, though. My speed.
That's right. But, you know, there's always a next fight. So let's talk a little bit about your next camp. You know, how far in advance does it begin? And kind of, if you can you walk us through some of the things you do during your camp?
Yeah, I like to start about 8 weeks.
Okay.
I started about 8 to 10, I always try to stay in shape, but I like to like kind of prep for my, like be down on my weight, don't have to worry about work for about 8 weeks out. And then 6 week mark, I'd start to really rev it up. Like really, I'm starting to do my sprints like two, three times a week. Like pushing that mental. So I wake up, you know, of course I'm doing my running daily, head movement and specifying. So I'm specifying now to my opponent. So I'm studying my opponent and looking up fighters. So for this last one, I looked up, I was watching the Hearns, Sugar Ray versus Hearns fight because of the height difference.
Tommy.
So she's long. Yeah. Tommy. Yeah. Yeah. So I was looking at the height difference cause she was taller than me. So what did Sugar Ray do to negate the height? So I just watched that fight, my whole camp. And then I watched her watch interviews and like Harry answer questions. Everything matters because I want to hit her weakness. So if she stumbles on a question, that makes her feel weirder. You know, I want her uncomfortable. I want my opponents uncomfortable in every way possible leading up to me. And then they have the ultimate discomfort when I punch them in the face. I just do study on every level, you know. And then I specify, like I said, to her weaknesses, I make my strengths, you know, and her strengths, I make my strengths or try to, you know. I have been in Vegas, but now I'm going to be traveling to Houston, Texas. So it's going to be a little different. I don't know how this camp's going to be. He kind of gave me a layout of what's going to happen. And I was there and he kind of duplicated some of the things that we'll do.
So you're going to come back to Texas again?
Yeah. April 29th.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Another opportunity possibly.
Yeah. Well, I mean to tell you.
Yeah. She'll go down to Houston and and have family down there. So,
Cool.
Yeah. It's just trying to get the car pointed south and the gas in the tank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just got a lot going on. But I'll ask you this question. I know that you on your social media, you had talked about, hey, people could be involved with you for sponsorship types of stuff during your fight camp. Can you talk a little bit? I know they're supposed to contact you directly, and at the end we'll have a place where folks can contact you. Okay. But can you talk a little bit about what that means in case we had some folks? Yeah.
So I have sponsorship to promote businesses. There were 17.8 million views on my last fight. I have my short, you promote yourself on my shorts. I put your name on my shorts, my sports bra. I also have a banner, and I also promote on social media. Tons of people are visiting my page. A lot of traffic goes through there. A lot of people know that fighters represent sponsors, so they come and check us out. And, you know, it's just a way to get your business known worldwide and market yourself through me. And it's less expensive to get you on pay-per-view on me than it would be to go, you know, say to the promoter or something, be like, hey, I want to put my name in the ring or something. You know, I'm the world champion right now, and a lot of eyes are on me. Everybody looks at what I do and who I choose to surround myself with and who I trust. So it's a good opportunity for businesses and and sometimes people just want to sponsor me. You know, they're just like, we love who you are. We love what you stand for. Can I help you out with sponsorship? I've also put in memory of people on my banners. I put their name, anything that people want. You know, I like to promote and I like to help people no matter what. And a lot of people have helped me along the way. And I like to help them.
You know, that's an amazing, what you said at the end is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in all of our careers, and I believe that it's mine, because I'm actually not as young as I look. and I really believe that in everybody's career, they have help.
Yeah.
And somebody told me when I was younger, your success is hard work, dedication, belief, and all those things that are definitely needed. But there's always seems like a little sprinkle of luck. And that little sprinkle of luck is those people, those little angels in our lives that come along and help us.
Yeah,
and we all have that. And to have you say, a world champion, that you don't forget that.
Yeah.
That means everything in the world. That is just awesome. I can't wait to hear more about this sponsor.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, it's a team. It's a team. It's a team effort. I get in the ring by myself, but there's no way I can do this alone. There's no way. And like you said, any career, we all need support. We all need the support of our loved ones, of our coworkers. Yep. We can't do it without that. It's impossible. Awesome.
I listen to you and your journey to where you are now, and you're very blessed with your hard work and dedication to be the number one. But you know, you're grounded, and it's just everything that I've listened to, and I listen to it with I'm a DDS, and you know, now that's not dentist of dental surgery. DDS in my world is a door to door salesman.
Okay.
That takes having to get up off your seat and on your feet every day.
Yeah.
And I did that before I retired. I did that for almost 50 years, and it was very good to me. Very, very good to me. So everything I'm listening to from you today, I transferred into where I came from and what I did. And you know what, Christina's, it's like parallel. Now, when I got my face bloodied, I didn't have to take a cold washcloth and get any stitches or anything. But I got bloodied many, many, many times. And you have to get back up. You know, I got down and had to get back up. I don't think I ever completely knocked that.
Right.
And your visit today, you just don't know how much you touched this individual.
Thank you.
And I'm going to pass that on to other people. because that is just so impressive. And I'm thanking you early and I'm thanking you often, but I just want to continue thanking you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, and yeah, especially, you know, like I said, you know, bare knuckle, where it's going, you know, with the, I don't want to say the merger acquisition with the other, you know, back in February, going to really going to be exploding. And kind of see that, you know, it's like, it just, oh man, I just, you know, I like the fact that, hey, you know, here it is. If you look at the venues, it kind of reminds me where Walmart used to be. Remember, Walmart used to be like in smaller towns.
Knuckles
out there, like in other places, like Montana and Wichita. I mean, y'all got Tampa and stuff in Thailand, but I do, I do like some of the other venues that are off the beaten path, which is kind of cool. Kind of, you know, middle America, people in other places get to go see a fight, a high caliber fight, and I know y'all had the had a kind of a thing in Springfield. That other gentleman or whatever had us fight there in Springfield.
Fight Hard MMA. Yeah. Fight Hard MMA. It was a great show.
You know what? Springfield, Missouri. Another great mid-America. Bass Pro in the federal prison and everybody's there in Springfield.
Don't forget Branson.
Yeah. So I really like, I like the fact that, you know, here you are, you know, you work a job like the rest of us, and you're also a professional fighter at the highest levels. Man, that's what fans want to see. You know what I mean? They want to see, like, this person is like me in that they're working a job, dedicated, you know, double, triple time, and now having this fight career. And then, like you said, sponsorships where you could get it. I remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know what I'm saying? Wherever the face is on the banner or the clothing or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll definitely talk to you and Jules about seeing what's up with that. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
What's up with that?
Well, you know, LA Talk, right? You know, have a little thing and how much. And remember back in the day, I had an ad on a quarter panel of a NASCAR truck.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, man, it's right there by the mud flap on the back of the left tire.
Right on.
But we got it in there. Just kidding. Not trying to compare you to a NASCAR truck, but it is what it is, you know, space available, what it is and the size and stuff like that, exposure. But anyway, I think that's a great idea that you're monetizing that, that you have the freedom to monetize it, and you have the freedom to monetize it to who you want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just great to see, you know, what you're doing and it's kind of funny, you know, like you have the Paige Van Zandt type of in here, kind of a little bit on the fight side. The
opposite,
game.
Yeah. See, that's what I want, and that's what I want to show. Like, you know, I don't want to take away from the beautiful girls that fight, that can fight, and there's tomboys like me that have a crazy look. I got the tattoos, the short hair, the dreads, you know. But we can all be successful, and that's what I want to show. We are all athletes.
Right.
You know, we can, there shouldn't be a segregation or discrimination. No. You know, it shouldn't matter in terms of that. And Bare Knuckle and David Feldman has given everybody a fair chance.
Yeah.
You know, and I love them for that.
Yeah. And there's a, yeah. Absolutely. And I do too. And I really, you know, like seeing, like you said, there is diversity in the types of fighters that you have in there. Again, you know,
Styles make fights.
You know, like Platinum Mike Perry. I think I bring every other show, bro, about what
he's
did.
Crazy.
Bringing his wife out as his corner. That was hilarious, man.
Well, I'd love to come to Houston while you're there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, come watch me.
Shake your hand and watch it work out. Whatever you're doing, I don't care.
Yeah. Let's do it. And I'm gonna be in great shape. And maybe come watch me spar. You know,
love it.
No, that might be a thing. And by the way, jump rope, remember that 30?
Oh, yeah.
Wayne, Cactus Clay had nothing on this one here, bud. I mean, her rope work was just like,
I love rope work. It's fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's fun.
Serious, bro. I'm serious. I mean, it's best of the best. He was doing, man. Damn.
She didn't return the call out.
What do you say to that? What do you say, unless you are Muhammad Ali or some sort of
right?
a genius on the jump rope, man. But anyway, I'm going to tell you that was just as stunning as watching you fight, because you kind of know it's like, oh shit, like this, oh my god, you know what I mean? Like
It's so when you're jump roping, it's hand foot coordination.
Right.
So you have to have the coordination, and I like to get creative. You know, the more I'm going to see coming at me, the more I'm going to see, the more I'm going to be able to punch, move at the same time. So people need to get on their jump ropes, fighters out there.
Oh, they sure do, sister. Boy, I tell you. Yeah. And, that's one of the best. I'm glad I remember to say something to you, because I think that was probably more talk about making a statement. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's making a statement right there. I mean, that's real, real talk type statement.
Yeah.
You don't have to say too many words when you're bringing it. that's exciting. So
well, I'm gonna commit one more time right now. I'm gonna get a commitment one more time. I will make a commitment. I'll come to Houston.
Oh Lord!
I can't wait.
I'm gonna become a super fan. I already am. And I got to
thank you. Thank you.
People can watch Superwoman on TV all they want. I know why.
Oh man, that'll be real exciting. To go down there and see you do some
absolutely.
Work. What advice would you give to aspiring fighters? What are some of your thoughts, Christina? What you'd tell them?
What I tell them. Just when you don't have a backup plan. So this is what really helped me throughout my career is I listened to the motivational speakers and I did a lot of studying on the greats. And if you have a backup plan, you'll always have in the back of your mind that you have something else to fall back on. So if you really want this fighting thing, you really want to be a world champion, you really want to be the best ever, you really, really want that, make it your whole life. You know, I sacrificed everything. And I think the key to it was the consistency to the commitment and the discipline and not having that backup plan. Because when you have no backup plan, you will give everything and anything to get that job done. Nobody's going to get in your way. You're going to be relentless in your pursuit. So I just feel like complete commitment. Probably.
That's so real.
You know, you have to, or you're going to be a journeyman, or you're going to be a stepping stone. And I'm sure 99% of the people don't want to be that stepping stone for that guy or girl to get to that place where you want to be.
You don't want to be a gatekeeper?
Gatekeeper. What? No gatekeepers.
Zig Ziglar said, don't be a morality.
Yeah.
In other words, I love that. No backup plan.
Yeah, none.
Is that
even scary? It's scary.
Yeah.
Trust me. Many times I was like, why? You know, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? You know, but you just got to have, have faith in yourself. And make it happen.
Got to go all in. Got to go
all in. 100%.
100%. Well, let's kind of wind it down then. That was, I told you it was going to be a quick 50 minutes. Christine, how can folks reach you you're through your websites and all your social media? Go ahead. Tell us.
Oh, okay. So my social media is at Christine Faria. Is my first and my last name, Christine Faria. On Instagram, it's all one word. And on my Facebook, Christina, it's separated. So, that's it. It's my first and my last name. It's real simple.
That's awesome. So, folks, check out Christine. Check out her social media. But also take the time to go to YouTube or what have you.
BKTV app. Yeah, the BKTV app.
BKTV app, and for $4.99 a month or whatever it is, you can subscribe and get live.
Yeah, the link is in my bio, in my Instagram bio. You can click on the link there, and it'll take you straight to
that. That's right. So And that's another great thing about Bare Knuckle is the price point. It's easy to subscribe. You can do monthly. You can do, I think, yearly is $50, man.
Yeah.
You kidding me? I can't even get that for one ESPN Plus membership to see one damn fight on the with the other guys. So, folks, this is something that's awesome and affordable and action-packed like you wouldn't believe. For folks, you can see this on Apple Podcast and iHeartMedia here in the next couple of days. I know we're live now, so hopefully, you know, awesome. Kudos to yourself, Mr. Feldman, of course, Jules Gray, who you're working with. So hopefully we'll get to meet all of them on the show here at some point in time, if not live at the fights and whatnot. So have a great, you know, have a great training camp. Have a great, yes, right, misfit, baby.
That's that misfit.
fighter behavior, what do you call it?
Champion behavior.
Champion behavior. Love it, man. A little hashtag.
1% better every day. 1% better every day. That's all we need.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, then, everybody. We'll have a blessed week, and we'll see y'all here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have fun, and we'll see everybody later. Take care.
Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz only on LA Talk Radio.